Voters in Zimbabwe prepare to go to the polls this weekend after enduring the most violent political campaign in the country's 22 years of independence under black majority rule. President Robert Mugabe warned yesterday that he would pursue his challenger even after the votes were in. The army is on high alert. And if fear doesn't keep voters home, confusion might. It's not clear how many ballots have been printed or even where the polling stations are to be. All of this comes at the end of what began in 1980 as a hopeful transfer of power to the people's choice, Robert Mugabe. Martin Meredith is the author of the new book, Our Votes, Our Guns, Robert Mugabe and the Tragedy of Zimbabwe. Meredith says the former guerrilla leader won the country's first all-race elections by a landslide. And though Mugabe espoused Marxism and spoke hotly of driving out the whites who had ruled the old Rhodesia, in fact, his first act as president was to call for reconciliation.
It was a remarkable turnaround because Mugabe came to power at the end of a seven-year civil war against white rule, and it had been bitterly fought and costing as many as 30,000 lives. By offering the hand of friendship, it did come as something of a surprise, and indeed the white community was reassured for some considerable time. He reverted fairly soon to some anti-white rhetoric, but it didn't actually kind of affect them other than that they didn't like hearing what he had to say. So really for a kind of period of 20 years, until quite recently, the white community fared well in Zimbabwe.
Is this a zero-sum game? If the white community fared reasonably well, did that mean that the black majority was faring badly?
Well, there are two sides of the story, that the government in 1980, Mugabe's government, did embark on programs of education and health, which benefited the country as a whole. But he also unleashed a campaign of military repression against his political opponents in the southwest corner of Zimbabwe, in which at least 10,000 civilians lost their lives. At the end of the day, the opposition was obliterated and Mugabe was in charge of a one-party state, which is what his ambition had always been since taking power. So you can say that the whites fared fairly well at the beginning of his rule, and the black opposition suffered sorely at the hands of his military machine.
The big issue in Zimbabwe has always been land. You write that the enduring notion of lost lands had provided the rhetoric and the motivation for the guerrilla war in the 1970s, even at the same time that white farmers provided most of the country's foreign currency. Why has Mugabe failed so badly to address the question of resettling the land?
He started out quite well in 1980, and he was provided with substantial funds from the British government to buy out white farmers who were willing to give up their land and to be used for essentially kind of peasant occupation. The pressures of land in, if you like, the black peasant community were quite severe in 1980, and there was a dire need for land redistribution to take place. The program, however, was rather slow and expensive, and Mugabe never considered it to be a priority in the 1980s. As a result of the kind of corruption that spread, a lot of the land which has been taken from white farmers has ended up in the hands of ministers, senior civil servants, defense chiefs, police chiefs, and party officials. They have been the principal beneficiaries of Mugabe's land reform program, with the intention of reinforcing Mugabe's power base. This is the reward for their support. Some land has been granted to peasant resettlement, but it is so haphazard that very often the peasants, having been dumped on land, on former white land, have actually just left it. There are now hundreds and hundreds of farms standing derelict, because white farmers have been forced to abandon them and nobody else has come in to take them over. It is a disastrous land reform program, and there are huge problems now which face Zimbabwe as a result of food shortages.
Now, we read about, here in America, we read about these people who are occupying the lands as they identify themselves often as war veterans.
They do. Some of them are war veterans who fought the war of liberation against white rule, but most of them are actually just kind of paid unemployed youths. I mean, the reason for the violence and intimidation is because Mugabe has seen his one-party rule slipping through his fingers. He has launched a campaign of violence and intimidation against all the opposition, against the judiciary, against the press, and against political opposition. And it all stems from his fear that he may be losing power.
Martin Meredith is the author of the new book, Our Votes, Our Guns, Robert Mugabe and the Tragedy of Zimbabwe. Commentator Paul Terry was a Fulbright scholar who taught at the University of Zimbabwe. He believes the international community cannot continue to ignore this troubled country.